The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Gino, if I may, just our next guest. I'm going to admit that I am so impressed by Mia O'Brien, and not just the work that she's doing at 1010XL down in Jacksonville. We're going to talk Jags with Mia. Mia, a few months ago, you shared on your social media accounts like a 2.5 minute long demo reel of all of the work that you do, not just, you know, with the Jags, but just all of the college football and everything you do on both TV and radio and sideline reporting and just the versatility of your work ethic. And I knew it was good because it felt like I was watching something for 10 minutes and it was only 2.5 minutes long. So, like, we had you on with us last year, I want to say before the London game. And man, you were great with us then. We're so excited to have you back on with us here to talk about the Jags. And we understand that you've still got those upstate New York roots as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I appreciate the kind words, gentlemen. Really, really appreciate it. Happy to be joining you again. I am indeed already boots on the ground up here in upstate New York, or central New York, I guess we can say, as opposed to western New York, visiting the old alma mater. We decided to kind of coordinate a return trip to Ithaca College to coincide with Jags Bills on Monday night. And so the college was kind enough to fly me up last night, taught a couple classes this morning, a couple more still to come later this evening and tomorrow, and currently at Ithaca College football practice, where much like the Jaguars, they're looking to flip the script after an 0-2 start to the season.
Yeah, is it Butterfield Stadium? Is that it down there?
It is indeed.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Like, you're overlooking Cayuga Lake. I think it's a very picturesque setting, so I can picture exactly where you are right now. Mia O'Brien, 1010XL from Jacksonville up here, again, visiting her alma mater in Ithaca. Mia, what's gone wrong? Loaded question here right out the get-go. 0-2, Jacksonville. What has gone wrong here so far?
Yeah, it truly is a loaded question, because if you're to simplify it, you could make the argument that if the ball bounces a different way on five total plays between the first eight quarters of football the Jaguars have played in 2024, we're looking at a 2-0 football team and not an 0-2 team. But of course, football is not that simple, and there's a lot of other things at play, whether that be play-to-play, the fluidity of the offensive play calling, which has once again become a hot-button topic in Jacksonville, the state of the offensive line. I think you could go to all 30 NFL markets and you would find a debate about their team's offensive line. And the defense certainly has been flying around. Ryan Nielsen's team played man-to-man coverage 70-plus percent of the snaps they played against that high-powered Miami Dolphins offense in Week 1. And yet they have zero takeaways to show for it between three preseason games and two regular season games. And so it's been a fascinating first few weeks of the season. I don't want to say that people are hitting the panic button in Jacksonville. I know fans definitely are. Don't get that impression from inside the building itself, despite certainly some rumblings of discontent across the board.
Well, and I was going to ask you about that, because when you hear the owner say, this is the best roster we've assembled, we need to start winning games. I mean, that, fair or not, you know, he's the owner, he could say whatever he wants, but that puts, I feel like it puts an added a layer of pressure on everybody, including Peterson, who's won a Super Bowl, including Trevor Lawrence, who I think everybody believes should be farther along in his game than where he is right now. You expect more out of Trevor Lawrence in that offense.
Yes, most definitely this is a playoffs or bust type season, I would think, at least from what Shad Khan said. Now, with that said, coming off of the 2017 AFC Championship season, people expected heads to roll not only after 2018 in a 5-win season, but after 2019 in a 6-win campaign. Instead, Dave Caldwell and Doug Marrone were retained until ultimately a 1-win season that led to the drafting of Trevor Lawrence in 2020. And so I think what's curious is we really don't have an idea of how long the leash is in Shad Khan's eyes, because he has been so patient with the likes of Doug Marrone, the likes of Gus Bradley, and certainly Doug Peterson in just two seasons has won more games in two seasons than those two gentlemen did in four. And so, or I guess Doug Marrone technically not, because he won 10. Actually, no, I think Doug technically has. I'm doing the math in my head real quick. So the point is that it'll be curious to see, but I think the standard has been raised because this was a team that was in the playoffs 2 years ago, because of, if only on paper, the talent they've assembled. Shad Khan expects to see a return on his investment, both through free agency, the draft, the investment he's made in the coaching staff, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, and to the Trevor point, you know, when I mentioned rumblings of discontent, look no further than Trevor in the press conference after Sunday's 18-13 loss to the Cleveland Browns, in which he said, point blank, we suck right now. And I asked I asked Doug Peterson point blank, you know, on Monday on the Zoom call. I said, you know, what do you say to that? And he kind of chuckled and, you know, was like, yeah, like, he's right. We do suck right now. And you want to hear your quarterback take ownership of it. But make no mistake about it, this is a very important juncture, not just for the Jaguars to get back on the track, but also for Trevor Lawrence to prove he was worth a $250+ million investment by this organization.
Me and O'Brien, our guest here at 1010XL in Jacksonville, and she's up at Ithaca College, as we have Monday night coming up, Bills and Jaguars out in Buffalo. Mia, there are some crossovers in this game. You have two former Buffalo Bills down in Jacksonville. So part one, how's it going so far for Mitch Morse and also wide receiver Gabe Davis? How are they fitting in? And what can you tell Bills fans about Dwayne Smoot, who may be in the lineup this week? He practiced limited today.
Yeah, Dwan's one of my favorite people on planet Earth. He is truly, as Josh Hines-Allen has put it, he is the football version of Michael Jordan. Now, maybe not necessarily, or not Michael Jordan, excuse me, LeBron James. I'm getting my goats confused here. Because not necessarily on the court, per se, LeBron James, a top one, top two player of all time, but with regards to what he's been able to do off the football field, starting a school in Jacksonville, not just for his child, but for other preschool and elementary school age children with the LC Academy. And so that's why Josh Hines-Allen has said he's literally LeBron. He quite literally built a school and has done so much else for the Jacksonville community. A great guy, certainly a rotational piece that I think the Bills will benefit from, keep some fresh legs for Greg Rousseau, my fellow Iowa Hawkeye, A.J. Epineza. And so I think that he is more than capable of kicking inside if you need. The Jags used him a little bit, kicking inside on third down, or even having him go on the outside with Arden Key kicking in inside on third down for stunts in the 2022 playoff run before, unfortunately, Smoot suffered that Achilles injury that hampered him throughout the course of his final season in Jacksonville, cost him the first 5 weeks of the season. And you guys know this with any Achilles or ACL injury, and certainly Von Miller has been very open about it. It really takes for both those injuries a full year and even a half season of playing before you feel like yourself again. And so I'm excited to see how Smoot is feeling and how he actually will look translating to the field in his first game action after that partial season last year. To the Mitch Morse and Gabe Davis conversation, Mitch Morse has been the most dependable offensive lineman since arriving in Jacksonville. That's not just from me. That's from people who study offensive line far more than I do, i.e. Jaguars Hall of Famer Tony Boselli. He has done a lot to solidify and stabilize an offensive line that really struggled from the interior with the regression of second-year center last year, Luke Fortner. And I think that right now it's just a matter of him and Trevor Lawrence continuing to get on the same page. We were told over the last few weeks there have been some miscommunication issues, which is amazing because, again, Mitch has been the most dependable offensive lineman that they've had so far this season and the most consistent at the very least. As for Gabe Davis, he was still coming off of that injury he suffered in his final few games in Buffalo, and so he was limited during the offseason program, limited slightly at the start of training camp, and so perhaps a little bit longer of a ramp-up period than many thought it would be. I honestly am surprised with the Jaguars' quote-unquote commitment that they made to be more of a vertical passing offense after really being perhaps bogged down last year by focusing so much on the horizontal game. The fact that they doubled down, they signed Gabe Davis in free agency, they drafted Brian Thomas Jr., it honestly is kind of amazing that we haven't seen more Gabe Davis so far in two games this year.
Mia, let's talk a little bit about the late injury in week two to Evan Engram. I think it caught a lot of us by surprise. We found out that he wasn't going to play in week two, and we're wondering what his availability could be like here come Monday night. What's the latest on the Jags tight end?
Yeah, Doug said this morning he's a little bit further away than perhaps they anticipated. He officially said on Monday that he was week to week. I'm very curious to see exactly what comes of this. I was on the field during pregame warmups. I have a video on my phone of Evan warming up. Didn't appear to suffer any sort of discomfort. And so either it was when I wasn't looking or maybe afterwards when he went into the locker room to put on his uniform. It was shortly before inactives came out, which obviously hampered the Jaguars because they only had 47 active players. And so I think that it is a significant lost if he can't go on Monday night because he is that safety valve for Trevor Lawrence. But at the same time, I thought the second-year tight end out of Penn State, Brenton Strange, did a more than capable job. If you actually go back and you look at that final Hail Mary that Trevor threw, Brenton Strange came darn near to catching it and saving the Jaguars from just an abysmal second loss, and that they would have somehow escaped with a miracle catch. And the fact that he came as close as he did is a tribute to the natural athlete that he was at Penn State. Maybe didn't necessarily get as many reps there because of the tight end factory it's become and the lack of reps he's had in Jacksonville by virtue of being behind Evan Engram on the depth chart. But he's also a capable blocker, and I'm curious to see how the Jaguars are able to incorporate the fact that he can line up more in line and then break out, as opposed to Engram, who's naturally always going to be flexed out for the most part.
Yeah, Mia, the Bills have had success under Sean McDermott, as you know. They're going for their fifth AFC East title in a row. But, boy, Jacksonville has just been a bugaboo here, whether it's the London game, the game that's a 9-6 final in a year that didn't go right for you could go back to the playoff game with Blake Bortles. What is it that gives Buffalo so much trouble? How do you view this matchup?
See, the funny part about it is I think there's a contingent of the fan base looking at it through that perspective. And then I do my live podcast, which I did do this morning on the 10th and XL Jaguars YouTube channel, Duval Rundown. And my co-host, our web director, Gus Logue, reminded me that the Jaguars have lost their last three meetings in Buffalo.
That's
they
right.
just haven't played in Buffalo since 2018. And so I think that, you know, the people that are looking at this glass half empty in Jacksonville are pointing to that. The people looking at it glass half full are looking at it from the perspective of the Jags have had Sean McDermott and Josh Allen's number. And they also, again, five plays go the other way. This team could very well be 2-0. It is still a very talented team on paper. While everyone has struggled to put a finger on why there has been inconsistency, where the miscommunication has come from, again, the game is not played on paper, but you can't deny the talent that Trent Baalke has assembled on this roster. Is this the week it finally clicks? That's what everyone is wondering. And as for why they've had the Bills' number, I think a large reason why, and we talked about it on Duval Rundown this morning on our podcast, we talked about the fact that the Bills in the previous two meetings have not really run the ball well. And if at all, quite frankly, I mean, James Cook had -4 yards the last time these two teams faced off in London. And so this is obviously a different look Bills offense. And while the Jaguars defense prides itself in stopping the run so you can have fun, it's going to be a tall task going up against Joe Brady and this revamped Josh Allen Bills offense.
Mia, let's talk a little bit about the talent on the defensive side of the ball that Baalke has assembled here, because we know about Josh Hines Allen, and he's elite at his position. We know that Eric Armstead is one of those new additions. We see a familiar name in the secondary with Ronald Darby as well. Overall, how's this defense been performing through two games this season?
Yeah, like I said, no takeaways to show for it, but it's been a sticky defensive crew. I think the biggest thing that will shock many Bills fans when they're watching this game on Monday night is Ryan Nielsen's philosophical decision to be subbing players constantly. It looks like hockey shifts out there, folks. They are bringing not just their four defensive linemen off the field, they are rotating linebackers, they are rotating safeties. It is constant movement to keep guys fresh. Now, has that become a bit of a sticking point for some in the Jaguars fan base? Because if Foye Oluwakin, for example, is one of the best inside linebackers in the National Football League, why is he only playing 83% of the snaps? He should be playing 100% of the snaps. And so I'll be curious to see if that evolves over time, especially going up against a group that obviously is one of the most high-powered offenses the Jaguars will face this season.
Yeah, Mia, last one for me. And when you get out to Buffalo coming up on Monday, you're going to notice the new stadium right away. You can't not miss it. It's across the street. Cranes are up. It's exciting time here in Western New York. Exciting down there in Jacksonville, too. It's a go, correct? The new stadium, not really new, but the massive renovation that's going to take place. Tell us a little bit about it. And it's going to be so massive, you're going to have to find a temporary home. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so the owners will officially vote in October. The expectation is that Shad Khan has been able to lobby and spoken with enough owners that the Jaguars expect for that vote to pass at the end of October, and officially will be all systems go for a renovated, reimagined EverBank Stadium in downtown Jacksonville. The bones are good. That's what they keep telling us. And so this process is going to be stretched out over about 3 years. And so in 2020, actually 2025. So at the end of this calendar year, at the end of this football season, they will begin to start working on things outside of the stadium. The Jaguars will still play at Everbank Stadium in 2025. In 2026, at the encouragement of the fan base, after soliciting feedback, the Jaguars will have a limited capacity crowd in 2026. I forget the exact number, so don't quote me on that, but there will be a limited number of fans, not a significant, it's not like we're talking 50% here. I believe it's about 70% of what the stadium currently holds because of the fact that they will be taking out the upper tier. In 2027, the Jaguars will be forced to relocate for that season. We don't know right now where they will be playing. The expectation is that it will be either Orlando at Camping World Stadium, Gainesville, Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, which is also expected to undergo renovations later this decade. And then, of course, the idea of could they play even more than just their two games in London that they have played each of the past two seasons during that 1 year of 2027, with the hope being that the Jags' renovated, reimagined stadium will open in 2028.
Mia, does that talk ever die? I mean, knowing that he has ownership of Wembley, is the talk of Jacksonville relocating to London all but dead with this news of the renovated stadium?
It is absolutely dead, sir. We are very excited to tell folks like you guys to buzz off and not have to deal with it. I say that with all the love and respect in the world. You should have seen Jason Lockenfora's mentions when the city council vote went down in June. It got ugly on X or Twitter, whatever you call it these days, because Jaguar fans couldn't wait to rub it in everyone who has ever questioned their existence in Northeast Florida, who has ever questioned how long the longevity of that franchise there, to say, ha-ha, we told you so, we ain't going anywhere.
Jacksonville needs a win. Certainly the Bills are at 2-0. How do you view this playing out Monday night?
Yeah, you know, like I said, this is not only an important juncture for this team in this season, but I think for Trevor Lawrence's development, because if it looks as clunky as it has the last 2 weeks on offense, there's going to be serious questions. We still don't know if it is Doug Peterson or Press Taylor as the play caller. I can tell you this, we are getting, from being in the locker room and from conversations I've had, all signs of there is some sort of discontent, whether that is with the head coach or with the play caller, or rather with the head coach or the offensive coordinator, that remains to be seen. And so, look, if they don't turn it around here, it's going to be mighty hard to go 0-3 and heading into Houston next week at NRG Stadium. And so we'll see what happens, because quite honestly, I could see this going either way. I could see this completely coming off the tracks and the Buffalo Bills running crazy all over the Jaguars, although I think the Jaguars' defense will certainly hold up its end of the bargain. But if that offense looks clunky again, they very much could come off the tracks. On the other side of the coin, this is also a team that, again, has talent on paper. Is this the week that they finally put it together?
Mia, fantastic catching up with you. Enjoy your weekend in upstate New York, and let's do it again soon.
Absolutely, boys. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Mia. That is Mia O'Brien, 1010 XL, who is actually doing that from Ithaca football practice today.
I tell you what, and I said it at the beginning, I'll say it again. Like, she shared it, you know, a couple of months ago. Like, this is my demo reel. This is what I've been working on. This is what I do. And it was just so impressive. And as I was watching it, I'm thinking to myself, if I'm an executive at ESPN and I see this, I'm wondering why she's not on our payroll, because I would imagine a big company like Disney, ESPN specifically, would look at this and be like, oh, here's somebody that's versatile, that can do anything we ask them to. Because you see everybody in the world that we live in now, in our world, in media, it's like you can't just do one thing. You have to do everything. Like, newspaper writers aren't just newspaper writers anymore. They're doing podcasts. They're doing videos. They're interviewing. They're doing whatever is being asked of them. And Mia is certainly an example of that.
Content creators and journalists with opinion. Text here from Kevin Roche.
That's our buddy Kevin Roche from Friday Night Rivals.
Yeah, Kevin Roche, many years, 13 Whams over at RIT now, with us on hockey. Surrounding yourself with these bombers, Catalana, Mia, me. Genius moves by the executive producer.
Is that me? Who's he calling the executive producer? Oh, the executive producer.
Yes.
Did the executive producer book Mia O'Brien?
She did not. No. Oh, okay. No, I don't think that.
All right.
I don't think the executive producer lines up.
We can give her credit. That's fine. I'm not about to steal that shine. Congratulations to the executive producer. Thanks for booking us these great guests from Ithaca.
Not booking Kevin, though.
No.
Nope.
We need Kevin on again. I mean, he made his one visit. Hopefully we have the chance to talk to Kevin later this hockey season if RIT is doing what we all want them to do. Appreciate that, Kev. We'll see Kevin in Hilton, aren't my neck of the woods.
East Hilton. Next week.
Next week when we...
There's NASCAR this Friday.
We have Hilton and McQuaid coming up a week from Friday. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll get to a happy hour next in the sports bar. We'll get to a round of shots as well next in the sports bar. Mel Kiper Jr., a takesman? This was an interesting take by Mel Kiper Jr. We'll share what he said in terms of what we can do to make the NFL offense a little bit more productive here with the slow start that we've seen so far here through 2 weeks of this season. Hey, right now, if you want to win some free tickets to see Tom Segura at Key Bank Center September 27th, just be caller 5 at 866-4326. 585-866-4FAN. Tom Segura, Key Bank Center, September 27th, courtesy of Live Nation. You can get tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com or just be caller 5 at 866-4326. 866-4FAN.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.